Hour number three here on the Morning Tailgate. Vince Sapienza, Vinny Bonsignor, Clay Baker coming to you live from Las Vegas on a Tuesday, January 6, 2026. And with that, in spite of Larry David's rules, we wish our next guest a happy new year. Ryan McFadden of ESPN. Ryan, good morning. Welcome. And we'll just start with this. Following John Spytek's presser on Monday, do you think there is a more attractive job in the NFL among the NFL head coaching vacancies than the Las Vegas Raiders?
I'll say yes and no. I think the yes part is the fact they're going to have the top pick in the draft. They got a lot of cap space, projected 10 draft picks. So for a head coach who understands he's walking into a rebuilding type of situation, he's kind of off to a very great start, given the assets they have available at the present moment. At the same time, I think you have to, for any candidate, you have to be wary of the lack of stability from the organization over the last few years in terms of coaches moving in and out. The Raiders have been trying to hit the question of whether coaches are given a chance to see their vision play out. Alignment issues. So, yeah, I think it's a yes or no situation, but I think the fact that you have the topic in draft, you have a lot of cap space, projected 10 draft picks, it does give you some optimism that you can attract an intriguing candidate.
Well, Ryan, I think I speak for everyone when I say I can't wait to read your Tom Brady story that you're obviously working on with the Raiders. And I say that with all due respect, because I am looking forward to reading it. But I have to ask you, what do you make of how the Raiders were so prominent in putting Tom Brady's name out there in terms of the decision making now as for the head coach in collaboration with John Spytek?
I think you have to. It's the elephant in the room. You know, mm-hmm. This is something that Mark Davis said. When Tom Brady joined the organization as minority owner, that he wanted Tom Brady to have influence. This is not something that's a surprise. Pete Carroll said it throughout all last year. Spytek said it as well. So, yeah, I think it's important. Look, I look at a situation where if the Raiders were a wild card team or winners of the AFC West, you know, Tom Brady will be, you know, will get a ton of praise as well. So I think, you know, even during the bad times as well, I think he still needs to be at the forefront. And, yeah, it's important. Like, if the ownership is giving Tom Brady this type of, I guess, which you quote-unquote football operations type of role, I think it's important for him to be involved as much as possible. Now, what that looks like, we'll see as time progresses. But, yeah, I think that's important to kind of have an idea. That's the point of adding. Of showing that you're aligned is, you know, your GM and, you know, the minority owner is going to be, you know, working together in terms of making football decisions. That's the point of being aligned.
You know, when you have somebody like Tom Brady, a name like that, how important is it for like a prospective coach to maybe feel like, you know, to align to that, but also potential free agents down the road?
I think it's important. When you talk to players in the Raiders locker room, how much they admire Tom Brady, I'm assuming that's, you know, that's the sentiment across the league as well. Okay. So I think, you know, when you do have a figure in Tom Brady that has that respect with players across the league, and you know, and that guys who are coming into the draft, like, you know, these are guys who watched Tom Brady growing up, and this is a guy who represents winning. So I think he is someone that can, you know, I think has the potential to attract free agents. We'll see how it plays out in the coming years, but yeah, I think that's a good voice to have in the locker room just because of the respect that he has. That I saw from players this year, and how when you ask them about Tom Brady, how hype they get about it, I'm assuming, like, you know, that's across the league as well. So I think that's a huge asset to have.
Talking to Ryan McFadden of ESPN, follow him on the X at Ryan McFadden _. And, you know, going back to Spytek's presser, obviously when asked what he's looking for in the next head coach, the qualities, things of that nature, he talked about the shared vision, similar mindset, all about team. But as you read between the lines, right, as we are doing today and in the days to come, as we figure out who that that next head coach is going to be for this team. What kind of coach do you expect it to be? Are there names that jump out to you after listening to what he had to say?
I think you look at someone like Clint Kubiak from Seattle, Jesse Minter from the Chargers. So what Jesse Minter has done with that Chargers defense has been phenomenal. And he's also a Michigan guy. So there's two names that pop out. I think they should go young. I think they should go either offensive minded or defensive minded type of coach. I know Pete Carroll came in as a guy who kind of brought that energy as was kind of one of those energy type of guys. But I think I see with this is the success that Seattle's had with someone like a Mike McDonald. I would like to see if they're able to bring someone who is skilled on either side of the ball. I think that'd be important. But at the same time, I think it comes to bringing in a coach that fits the timeline of the organization. And this is, Pete Carroll's. I think Pete Carroll's still a Hall of Fame coach. I think as time moves on, his one season with Las Vegas will just, be a distant memory. I don't think it'll be a stain to his career because he's done so much before he came here. But in reality, it was just you had a 74-year-old coach who wanted to win right away and a roster that clearly wasn't in position to do so, despite adding Geno Smith and already having Max Crosby in the roster. You still need more pieces to make that happen. And, I think moving forward, I think it's just kind of a lesson learned. And in terms of bringing in someone who kind of fits the timeline of what this organization is trying to do. And more importantly, find someone that gives you that hope. You guys can work, they can work with moving forward. Like Spicek said, he's not looking for someone to win 10 games right away. You want someone to kind of help build this team to be a consistent program moving forward. And I think that's essential for the head coaching search.
Ryan, you mentioned a couple names there. Let me throw another name at you. Within the last 10 minutes, news broke that Cliff Kingsbury and the Washington Commanders have parted ways. Obviously, the Raiders were hot and heavy on Cliff a couple years ago. What kind of how does that sit on you? What does that name do for you?
I think he's a solid offensive coordinator. I'm TBD on him. I guess it comes down to the quarterback situation, and it also comes down to what's their vision of how the who they're going to bring in terms of offensive pieces. He's probably not the high on my list compared to the other guys that are probably going to be in this. They're going to be in his head coaching cycle, but I think he's a solid offensive mind.
Max Crosby and you just mentioned Geno Smith, and we all asked about John Spytek about both those players yesterday. Prediction: Are either one of those players going to be on the roster next year?
Max Crosby and Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Ooh, I think they're both not going to be in a roster. That's just my prediction.
Yep.
That's just my prediction. Like I said, this is the Raiders could very well, they could pull off with whoever they bring in. They could be the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? They could be the New England Patriots. But I think for someone like Max Crosby dealing with all these coaching changes, I think it'd probably be best for both sides to get a change of scenery. We're back to somewhere where where there is stability, there's a better chance of, there's a more guarantee of winning instead of, constantly dealing with here's another coach, here's another defensive scheme, here's another coach, and here's what they're thinking, how their approach is. It's a lot. And, that's a lot to deal with as a player. I can only imagine, and also too being the leader of that and being the voice of that every single year. So I don't think he comes back. I think both sides will figure out a way to put him in a situation where he is playing for a contender in 2026. I could be wrong. If I am wrong, I'm willing to come back, and you guys can grill me for being wrong. that's just my prediction. Same with Geno Smith. I look at it like Geno Smith's biggest supporter is not in the building no more.
Right.
So that's the key right there. That's a Pete Carroll guy. Now, I don't know how the quarterback situation went, and Geno Smith has said, I came here because of Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. Well, Pete Carroll's not in the building. And he did take a step back from the past three seasons in Seattle. So with that said, I think it's, and they got the number one pick in the draft. I think you'll see both sides parting ways. I think they would take in that $18.5 million, that cap hit. Like I said, you know, that's a significant amount of money, but we've seen teams, the Denver Broncos were the first seed and who has the best record in football, yeah, take in more, and look what they did.
Yeah,
you know, they took in $85 million in cash, dead cap on Russell Wilson. Following year, they're 10-7. This year, is it 14-3? I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
After making the playoffs last year.
Yeah. So it's, you got to figure it out, and you just hope that right. So I just think, and you know, it's, and also too, like I said, the Broncos did that, and they didn't pick as high as the Broncos were. They said to get Bo Nix, but their pick wasn't as high, right? Mm-hmm. The Raiders got the first overall pick. There's, to me, two, unless, you know, we're just assuming Dante Moore comes out of college. That's your, to me, I think there's two top prospects you're going to go with at number one. And after that, I think Smith can drop off. So it kind of like, All stars are pointing. The stars are pointing towards them taking the quarterback, which means I think Geno days are numbered. And I'm not sure if, you know, he wants to be in a quarterback competition with a rookie, and possibly being on the bench for the most of the year. So yeah, I think both sides part ways. And the biggest telling in that is not just the one pick; it's just that his biggest supporter is no longer there.
Yep.
Ryan, like, so back to Max in regards to him, is it kind of like the timeline for this team to get competitive? Is that also weighing in the factor that, you know, aside from, you know, also going with a new coach, new schemes, that maybe this makes it an unattractive, time for Max to say, yeah, let's run it back and let's see how this goes for another 3 years? It doesn't seem logical, does it?
Yeah, it makes, you hit the point there. Like, Max Crosby, I believe, turns 29 in August. This year. So, yeah, the timeline's not there. So, like, you know, he's like I said, he's still one of the best defensive players in football. Mm-hmm. The fact that he played on a bad knee since week 7 and got 10 sacks and went to his fifth straight Pro Bowl, I think that's remarkable. I think that's – he's still one of the more premier players in football on the defensive side of the ball. At the same time, where he's at his career – does not match the timeline of where the Raiders are going. So that's why I said I think it's not just like the head coaching move.
Sure.
Like another head coach. It's just that the timeline is not there. And I think Max Crosby deserves an opportunity as he's getting up there in age to have the chance to be competitive, compete for a playoff, maybe compete for a Super Bowl. And that's not the timeline right now. That could very well change. We still have to see how the Raiders navigate the offseason. But at the same time, it's clear that we're in a rebuild, and I don't think you keep a 29-year-old edge rusher around for that process, knowing where, you know, how bad he wants to win. And to me, I think it's good for both sides. You know, I think it's good for him. He gets a fresh start. And at the same time, the Raiders are able to get some, I assume, significant draft capital, or maybe a young player, depends on how that trade shakes out, mm-hmm, and who's willing to make the move.
More predictions, because predictions are fun. Are there? It's Vinny's fault. He started it with predictions. It's not my fault. Are the Raiders the first domino to fall in the head coaching carousel?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Got him.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's going to be a long, drawn-out process, but I don't think they're going to be a first team. I think, like I said, this is – if I'm a coaching candidate, I have to weigh out a lot of options. I got to weigh out, like, you know, other vacancies, and not only that, it's like you have to understand you're walking into a situation that has lacked stability for a number of years. So I think for any coach, I think that's going to come into their mind is like, all right, you're bringing me in here, but am I going to have the time to see my vision through? Because it's not easy. It's not going to happen. Like, some teams are able to do it overnight. Some teams are not. It depends on the talent on the roster, where young guys are at from a developmental standpoint. So, yeah, I think that's why I said they're not going to be the first team. I think it's going to take some time for them to find their guy. But we're not going to see very quickly all Raiders hire this coach. I think it's going to take some time. I think the assets the Raiders have makes it a tractable job. It's just their path of coaches moving in and out and the lack of stability. I think that's where kind of like you might see some hesitance from candidates.
He's Ryan McFadden of ESPN. Follow him on the X at @RyanMcFadden_. So basically Ryan's saying, we're going to have to talk about this for a little longer. All right, that's fine. Better. There's worse stuff to talk about, I suppose. Ryan, we appreciate you. As always, we'll chat with you next week.
Thanks. As always, thanks for having me. See you guys next week.
All right, that's Ryan McFadden of ESPN. So, Vinny, you agree. You do not think the Raiders' job will be the first one filled.
I don't. Unless every team takes a very meticulous kind of approach, I think the Raiders are going to take their time. I think that's not that they haven't taken their time, but I think that they've kind of been zeroed in on somebody in particular. And I see this a lot with the John Gruden stuff. It's not happening. First of all, I don't think there's any interest from their side. But also, with the structure the way it is, obviously is, with Tom Brady and John Spytek being in charge, that's not, you know, John Gruden has always been kind of the guy, right? And so you're going to have to take your attention away from those types of coaches, the ones that want to be the ones that go out and shop for it and order it and be the final say and the football czar and the football dictator. That's now not how this organization is going to be run anymore. There's a clear-cut chain of command, and I think there's a lot of coaches out there that respect that approach and are going to flourish in that kind of approach, but there's others that aren't, that wouldn't want to be part of something like that.
Do you have a guess on which team will fill them?
I think the Giants are the Tennessee Titans, because I think they've had a head start, even though they haven't been able to technically interview people, but we know how that world works. So yeah, I think one of those two might be the first.
Clay,
one.
Do you have a guess on who the first head coaching vacancy will be filled? Team?
That's a good question, because it makes you feel like, all right, which team feels like they've already kind of like highlighted who they're looking for, and maybe it would be like maybe it would be like in Atlanta, because Atlanta, as they kind of made a little tear at the end to kind of improve the record, it still wasn't good enough. So it made me feel like they must have had an idea of who they were looking for, right away to make that decision, because they realized whatever we have in the building isn't what we're looking for in comparison to X, Y, or Z.
All right. 702-365-9200 is the number. We'll get you some of your reaction. We'll go straight out to the phones. Raider 67 in the ATL. Good morning. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for the welcome. Thank you for taking my call, too. So yesterday, Clay played the Autumn Wind, and that just gives me goosebumps. I just had to let him know and throw that out there. It just gives me goosebumps.
It's supposed to.
It is. It does. And I would play it in the locker room. Anyway, so I love the way the season ended. Not 3-14, but first round draft choice, first overall pick, beating Kansas City. Again, you guys have mentioned it. It just gave us fans and players a clear-cut message. Go beat Kansas City. We got the first round draft choice. Go beat Kansas City. And so that's what we did. On Max, Spytek alluded to three things that stood out to me. One is Brady and he are going to manage this thing. And I have never been one to appreciate a head coach that has 51% or greater of the decision making. I think it's just backwards. So that's why John Gruden, whoever wanted John Gruden to come back, forget it. John Gruden's not coming back. Because We don't need that. We need structure, like Vinny just alluded to. Brady's the guy. Mark has given Brady the authority to make these kinds of decisions. Spytek and Brady are a great pair. They're going to manage this thing, I really believe. The other thing he said was that we made mistakes getting rid of guys. He said, we got rid of guys that are playing really well in the NFL. And so we're not going to do that anymore. So if you think Max is going anywhere, I think that was a direct line to that.
It wasn't.
Now, Max could get us some first-round draft choices, which is true. But when he said that, it just said to me that I'm not getting rid of my guys that play really well and that run the locker room. In any case, I love you guys. You know that. And I listen every day, even though I don't comment or text. But I love y'all. And we'll see where this goes. I'm excited. I think we're going to get a quarterback. Last thing he said was that stood out to me is quarterback and head coach are the two most important things here. Quarterback and head coach. That's what he said.
Yep.
So guess what? First round overall, we're getting a quarterback. Anyway, see you guys later.
All right. Take interesting care. Thought, Raiders 67. Yeah.
I just don't think that was in reference to Max. I think he meant in letting guys out the door without getting anything tangible in return. Now, there will be cases where, you know, you can't pay everybody and guys, good players will leave because you have good players right behind them, you know, like the Rams do. And then you get the comp picks, and the Patriots used to do that in the past. And you get the comp picks, plus you have a really good player to replace them already in-house that you've been developing. I think those situations will occur. But letting good players leave without getting something back in return right now, or having somebody in place that you think is as good or better to replace him. I think that's what he was talking about with that. It was not, I don't think, about Max Crosby.
Coming up next, more of your thoughts here on Raider Nation Radio, the Morning Tailgate. Want to let you know, though, for Wild Card Weekend, I'll be at Chickies and Pete's inside All New Sahara, Las Vegas, from 12 to 3 on Sunday during that Wild Card Weekend tripleheader. It begins with Bills, Jags, 49ers, and Eagles. That will be the afternoon game. Come and say hello, because Chickies and Pete's talks Philly. It'll be an incredible atmosphere with the great food, the great drink specials you've come to expect from the number one sports bar in North America. It's Chickies and Pete's, our home on Thursday Night Football. Well, we're there on Sundays during the playoffs. Come and say hello. I'm there from 2 to 3 this coming Sunday here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
On a Tuesday. Eddie says up on the text line, in terms of most attractive NFL coaching vacancies, no state tax in Vegas, and we keep paying coaches. LOL, guaranteed money. Laughing emoji.
You can do that on the text line? You can do laughing emojis?
I see it. I see the emoji laughing at me right now.
I like that game.
I don't know if he's laughing at me. I hope not. That would be rude. Bill wants a comp pick update, Vinny. What do you got for us?
As of right now, there's two picks, so that brings the grand total to 10 overall. But there is a possibility of a third pick, which would be a seventh-round pick for Calavon. But that's still to be determined. But for sure, two extra picks. I think it's a fourth and either a fifth or a sixth. And that's for Nate Hobbs and Trayvon Merrig.
Can you make it a third?
What's that?
Can you make it a third?
I cannot.
Mm, okay. Just checking. You don't know if you don't ask, right? Raiders, the most attractive job. Clean slate, first pick, money and cap, state-of-the-art facility, and it's Vegas! It was all in caps. How to read it.
That's how it's read.
Jason says, we've been waiting for decades already. What's a couple more? That was in response to the, you know.
A couple more years. That's what we meant, a couple more years, not a couple more decades.
Raider John B. Good morning, guys. We are just haunted by previous drafts. We drafted poorly in round one. Remember? Leatherwood, Furl, Arnett, even Tyree. Those bad picks set us back to this day.
Yeah, I wrote about that. Mm-hmm.
But let's not live there.
No.
Let's live ahead.
Right.
This is the time to be optimistic. I will never tell fans how to fan.
Right.
But
the drafting's been pretty decent.
If there's ever a time to be optimistic, starts today.
Right.
Continues tomorrow. Right?
You can't let the past haunt you for this one.
I understand why there's pessimism. I do. But if there was ever a time to turn it, it feels like the reset is here.
I also truly believe the drafting has gotten better, too. Brock Bowers is a pretty good player. Ashton Gentry is a really good player. I think Caleb Rogers and Charles Grant are going to be good players. I think Darian Porter is going to be a good player. I think you saw Tonka Hemingway and what he's capable of doing, and J.J. Pegues. We'll see about the wide receivers. I think there's some growth that needs to happen there. But I think the drafting has been pretty darn good. DJ Glaze, you got a starting right tackle out of DJ Glaze. Did he take a little bit of a setback this year? Yeah. There's always – we'll see what he looks like come OTAs and training camp, if he's gotten back on his where he was last year. And maybe by this time next year, there's going to be real competition for him at right tackle, whether it's Charles Grant or bringing in somebody else. So I think the drafting is I wrote about it and what led to this in 2020. It all started in 2020. That was a terrible draft. It just was – there's nobody left from that draft. And you could have had cornerstone pieces right now, but that's why you're here. The drafting has gotten better over these last few years, and that's a credit to Tom Dulesko. It's a credit to John Spytek, and I think Dave Ziegler did some decent drafting as well.
When we, as we pivot, we're talking about the head coach, the vacancies, and things of that nature, but you can't have that conversation without understanding what you're going to do, and obviously that is an evolutionary process as we move forward. What they're going to do with the number one overall pick, is it going to be a quarterback? Should it be a quarterback? Which quarterback will it be? Is Dante Moore going to put his name out there? Is he going to sit there and be like, you know what? I'm going to take my chances with that loaded 2027 pick. NFL Draft Guru, is that his official title, Todd McShay?
Yes, always.
Because I know Mel Kiper's a guru. Todd McShay is a guru.
Draft analyst.
He went from analyst to now being his own omnipotent guy.
Omnipotent. That's omnipotent.
He's excellent at what he does.
He's fantastic.
Puts the work in.
He has his own podcast, obviously, and talks about, this is his time, right? This is his time to shine. And he had some pretty interesting thoughts in regards to one Dante Moore.
Would you or would you not, as the representation or the representative, the rep for Dante Moore, kind of reach out to the Raiders and say, hey, my client's trying to make a decision. We can live with going to 30 of the 32 teams. Maybe it's 31. I can't allow him to go to the New York Jets. And I realize in 2027, maybe he's the seventh pick or the fifth pick, or maybe he's the first overall pick and the Jets have all that ammo and they can get him there. But I can't allow him to just – he's got an opportunity to go back to Oregon, probably make the same amount of money that he's going to make in his rookie contract. Phil Knight will make that happen. So I can allow my client to go back to Oregon and have another season with a new offensive coordinator because Will Stein's going to Kentucky, or you can – pretty much promised me that he's going to be the number one overall pick. Is that so far-fetched? Because one single player in this entire draft, unless they grew up a Jets fan or have some kind of family tie, wants to be a New York Jet.
Okay, I know that's funny, but it really is a damning statement about the Jets. And it's real talk, too. Quarterbacks have gone to die in New York. Period, exclamation, full stop. If I am a young quarterback, I want nothing to do with that organization. I just don't. There's too much of a bad track record. If I'm Dante Moore, that's the exact call my agent is going to make. It's either to the Raiders to give me a promise that I'll be number one and I'm out. Or it's to the Jets and say, do not draft my client because I'll sit out a year and go back into the draft. So trade that pick. Don't pick me, whatever you do, because those are real conversations that any great agent, good agent, or an astute player are going to have when they're sizing up their future, especially now with NIL money being able to balance things out. These kids aren't desperate anymore just to go make a living. They have money, and that gives them the power to make these types of decisions. And I am completely with Todd McShay right now. I'm making that call, period. I don't want anything to do with the Jets.
Couple things there. First off, Phil Knight's probably listening to that being like, oh, will I? Am I just signing that check? Thanks, Todd.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting me in that position.
I got nothing else to do.
That check's already on the Dante Moore's desk.
Todd McShay is not just saying stuff just to say stuff. We can see things from an outside being like, yeah, that's where all quarterbacks go to die, essentially. But Todd McShay's not saying stuff without knowing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially what's going on.
And this is one of those, you don't have to be Bill Walsh to understand. Like, would you?
No.
That, you don't have to be an insider to know that.
Well, that's what I mean. But he is, so he knows probably a little bit more of what is happening. And I think it's a very real thing. And it would set up a very fascinating world of that draft if Dante Moore does not go back, or excuse me, does go back to school, and then you have essentially a one quarterback draft for now in Fernando Mendoza, what that means the rest of the way. It might mean nothing for the Raiders. They pick their guy, they move forward, and everyone's happy. But for the rest of the draft, how that plays out, what it means for the later picks, you know, the fumbling behind what the Jets would do,
right.
You know, different things like that, especially with the teams that have multiple number one picks.
Yeah.
Who goes number two? It creates a fascinating dynamic. May mean nothing for the Raiders. Maybe worst case scenario for the Raiders if Dante Moore doesn't go back because you don't have that jousting going on.
Right. Well, it's also interesting to hear what Todd McShay has to say about Dante Moore, what he thinks of Dante Moore, and why I still to this day caution Raider fans, don't get just fixated on Fernando Mendoza. There is another quarterback out there, and there's reasons when you look at both players to like one or over the other right now, but when you start thinking about the future of either player, why one that might be a little bit of a surprise might actually be the better option than the other.
You know, what a time we live in when, you know, when McShay makes that statement, it's absolutely based on truth. Like, no single player in this draft wants to be a New York Jet, that there's player empowerment now in college if you're an elite player.
Especially if you're a quarterback.
And if you're a quarterback.
You know, I think whoever the best safety is will want to go number two and get the most money possible, even if it's to the Jets, because they actually do produce pretty good defensive players. But quarterbacks, no way.
Dante holds all the power? Is that basically what we've boiled this down to? Mm-hmm. Dante Moore has all the power?
Nike, Eugene, and Dante.
So we talked about last week, you know, you can't put too much stock in one game, right, in these CFP games. Like, you can learn a lot, you can take a lot, but don't put all your eggs in one basket. Are we putting all our eggs in this basket this week between Oregon and Indiana?
You shouldn't, but, you know, a lot, you know.
It's like impossible not to.
Well, yeah, if we're, you know, people that are.
There's not a single member of Raider Nation that will not be watching that game.
But I thought you were
and living and dying by every throw is what I'm getting at is every throw from each quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't care who necessarily wins. They want to see close game, I would imagine, and they want to see the ball in their hands at the end.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's what you want to see.
No question. That's how fans will definitely approach it. But when you are talking about, you know, Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza, I think there's a line of thinking that If you're looking at just 2026, and I think both are going to be fabulous players, right? If you're looking at 2026, Fernando Mendoza is the more ready guy right now. But over the long haul, there's a lot of people, and I think fans would be surprised by this, there's a lot of people who think over the long haul, Dante Moore has the chance to be the better quarterback overall. And that's going to be the decision. So you can't just be fixated on who gives you the best option right now. It has to be, who gives you the best option over the long haul? Who do you believe is going to be the best player of the two, the best quarterback of the two? And that's why you can't get fixated just on the immediate and 2026. What do we say? It has to be about the future and not just 2026. And that and for those reasons, do not rule out Dante Moore, because he is the higher upside prospect. And when I say high upside, don't think for a second that he already has a great floor right now. This isn't a Anthony Richardson where he has no floor, but a lot of upside. This is a player that has a massively high floor and an even higher ceiling.
There's going to be many names of who will be interviewing for the Raiders head coaching job and jobs, of what that may look like. One name has already surfaced, according to one NFL insider. We will tell you who, coming up in the final sit down. But first,
and we'll open up the phones for you to get a chance to win a fantastic pair of tickets to go see Sammy Hagar. He's back in Las Vegas for the Best of All Worlds Las Vegas residency. So Sammy's going to be at the Dolby Live Theater at Park MGM March 11th through the 21st, September 18th through the 26th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. I have a pair of tickets for you for those dates. Be caller number 9 at 702-365-9200 to see the Red Rocker over at Dolby Live at Park MGM. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.
Let's get back to the action on the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Hey, where are you going? We're not done yet.
What would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Pull up a chair for the final sit down on the Morning Tailgate.
I want to sit down.
It is the final sit down here on the Morning Tailgate. Raider Nation Radio 920, Vinny Vincent Clay. Big thanks to our guests on today's program, Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, Ryan McFadden of ESPN, and you, the nation. As always, we appreciate you. We love you. Now again, the interview requests for the Raiders head coaching vacancy are going to be hot and heavy, no doubt, right? Because what did Alex Kappa tell you the other day? There's only how many?
32.
Only 32. So regardless of what you think of the opportunity, attractive or not, which I think we all think this is most attractive as it currently stands in the league, there's going to be many interview requests. According to Adam Schefter, within the past 5 minutes, Vance Joseph, the Broncos defensive coordinator and one-time head coach, is expected to interview with the Raiders, among other teams, this week. Now, again, because the Broncos are the one seed in the AFC playoff picture, he is allowed to interview this week virtually. So if the Raiders were indeed to interview, as Schefter expects it to happen, it would be a virtual interview. And again, as we have explained today, it is going to be one of many. It is going to be a wide, vast net the Raiders will throw out and explore all options, because the options seemingly, I don't want to say are endless, but it's robust. Mm-hmm. It feels like a robust coaching cycle. And with that, depending on which flavor of ice cream you get, you're pairing it with either a defensive-minded coordinator, offensive-minded coordinator, etc. Vance Joseph, so far as it stands, the first name to come out.
And your thoughts? Coming on the news of Cliff Kingsbury also putting his perhaps name in the ring after departing from Washington. I think that's kind of interesting, too. Something to chew on for the next couple days. Makes you wonder how quickly these names will start surfacing for the Raiders.
It's just amazing. I mean, the names continue to pour out. But Vance Joseph also expected to meet with, along with the Raiders, the Cardinals, Giants, and Titans for their, and again, this is for their head coaching vacancies. Cliff Kingsbury, mutually parting ways. Joe Witt Jr., fired by the Commanders as defensive coordinator. Matt Eberflus, fired by the Dallas Cowboys as their defensive. So, a lot of names, a lot of notable names as well. Also notable to mention something that we did not earlier today was the status of the assistant coaches. Vinny, you asked the question, have they been retained? John Spytek's answer was they are still all under contract. And when the follow-up was had,
are they allowed to
interview elsewhere? Spytek declined to comment
but he said they all know where they stand. So I think you could read into that. By the way, Vance Joseph did interview with the Raiders last year as well.
Yes. And to the point of the assistant coaches, I think we can all read between the lines without him saying it, but he was also asked the question, will you allow your head coach to pick his staff? And he said, I think that's a very, very important part of the head coaching process is, yes, they get to pick their staff. They're working with them day in, day out, hours upon hours. Yes, that's part of the job.
Lessons learned. I think that's also a good sign that, like, hey, we're not going down that road again.
So people want to see progress. Mm-hmm. Feels like that alone.
Meticulous improvement.
Right?
Yes.
Like, exactly. No forced marriages. Basically saying, nobody's going to force to work with anybody. That coach gets to pick who he wants. Mm-hmm. That feels like a shared vision. That feels like similar thought processes moving forward. Maybe it's just me.
Maybe that's the formula right there.
Oh, yeah. Can I also throw one other tidbit out there? I'm sure we'll get to it later in the offseason. But according to Nerding on NFL on the X,
mm-hmm.
as we know, the opponents have come out for the teams mm-hmm. for this year.
Nerds!
The Raiders have tied for the 19th hardest road schedule.
Okay.
So you can interpret that as, I guess, the 13th easiest or 12th easiest, whatever the math to that is.
It could be, yes.
Tied for 19th hardest.
Right.
But they have the hardest home schedule based on the 2025 win percentages of any team in the NFL. They have the 7th toughest schedule overall next year. So when we talk about planning for the future and not necessarily worrying about the wins and losses in 2026, maybe another reason why.
And it doesn't help when you have probably the hardest division to deal with as well. You got three difficult teams that are going to be in the playoffs right on your doorstep.
Make sure you stay with the flagship for the Silver and Black, JT the Brick, from 12 to 2. Unnecessary Roughness with Q Myers from 2 to 5. We are back on a Wednesday.